Welcome. Thank you for tuning in again to the Bible Believers Broadcast, brought to you by the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan. We continue now as Pastor Mike takes us through the book of John.
All right, it's good to be back with you. By the way, we would love to hear from you. If you'd send us an email, you can contact me through our church website and just click on the Contact Us button and send us an email. I would just love to hear from you. If the broadcast has been a help to you, a blessing to you, if you have a question, something you'd like me to answer for you, I'd be glad to do that. But John chapter number 1, continuing in verse number 41, as we were discussing, the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, is verse 41. He says, "We have found him," Simon saying that to his Andrew saying that to his brother Simon. In verse 42, he says, "And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him. He said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is my interpretation, "a stone." And I've been showing you all over the Bible that the rock upon which the church is built is Jesus Christ. And I showed you Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, how there's a text there that could be a little bit confusing for some, especially if they're not studying the Bible the way God commanded that we study the Bible so that we can increase in knowledge. And the way to do that is here a little, there a little, line upon line, and precept upon precept. And both of those are repeated twice. Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. God is trying to get a point through us that you study the Bible based on what the Bible says about the Bible. That's what it means when it says no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You don't interpret a passage just based on that passage. You interpret a passage of Scripture based on studying the wholeness of Scripture and comparing Scripture to Scripture, and according to 1 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. It's not 1 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That's the problem. People don't like to work. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we base what we believe about the Bible on the Bible. We don't base it on religion. And we don't take one passage of Scripture and build a doctrine off of one passage of Scripture. We study the fullness of the Scriptures and we see what other passages say that can shed light on the passage in question. Alright, so we're explaining to you that in John 1, when Jesus Christ first introduces Peter to us, he says, "Your name shall be Cephas," which is my interpretation, "a stone," not the rock, the lively rock on which Jesus, on which the church is built. He was not the first pope. All right. And I left off last week in 1 Peter chapter 2, just more commentary on John chapter 1. And I had showed you how the Bible said in verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." I wanted to continue here in verses 7 and 8 just to make sure that I showed you all of this and that you didn't miss anything. In verse 7 in 1 Peter chapter 2, after going through and showing us that we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes in order to grow, that we are lively stones and are built in spiritual house, we're built on the foundation of the chief cornerstone, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and on throughout your Bible. We're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 10. All right. So that's the foundation we're built on. Then he says he laid in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and that you had to believe on him. On him. The chief cornerstone is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Verse 7 makes it even more clear. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, they threw him away. The same is made the head of the corner." The stone the builders disallowed. They wanted to build something, but they didn't want to build it God's way. Boy, there's a lot doing that today. There's a lot of churches out there that are successful in the eyes of men. They have great and grand meeting houses. Beautiful and glorious. Lots of money in the bank. Many, many folks in attendance. Lots of fame and popularity. The news media loves them. People all over love them. They're building. They're building, but they're building a business with wise business sense in the world. They're not a church, you see. You better make sure that they stand the test of truth. They stand the test of the Word of God. They stand the test of clarity and boldness on who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and professing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not baptism, see? I overheard a conversation recently. Some man was questioning the lady, and she said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And he said, "Oh, yeah?" She said, "Yeah, the Bible says repent and be baptized. Believe and be baptized." Excuse me. She said, "The Bible says believe and be baptized. I'm a Christian." And she was professing to that man that it was her baptism. See, you know what the problem with that is? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "I'm glad I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest then he should say I baptized in my own name." He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now let me ask you a question. If baptism saved, why in the world would the Apostle Paul say, "Christ sent me not to baptize"? That's why I didn't put Baptist on the name of our church when we started it 8 years ago. Almost 8 years ago. Why? Because Christ sent me not to baptize. I can't imagine getting in the pulpit as a pastor and looking out at the congregation and saying, "I'm glad I didn't lead any of you to Christ. He said, I'm glad I baptized none of you." Now, come on, man. If baptism saves somebody, what in the world would the man be getting in the pulpit or writing down sacred scripture and saying something that ludicrous for? That would be ludicrous if baptism saved you. Baptism doesn't save you. But I can show you a couple passages of scripture that get real confused by people. And they go through those passages and they start to kind of explain some things from those passages. And people get to thinking, "My goodness, man, baptism saves me." 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." I wasn't even paying attention. Paul wasn't keeping count. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but on us which are saved, it is the power of God." See, baptism didn't do it. Paul wasn't preaching baptism. Well, there's some passages in the book of Acts that scare people to death. You got to understand who he's speaking to and what's going on in there in the passage and why. Acts, folks, is a history book. It's not a doctrine book. It's showing you the Acts of the Apostles, which we'll deal with a little bit next week. We don't have time today. I was hoping to get to it today, but we're just not going to have time. I'll show you what a biblical apostle is and whether or not they're still in existence today and what their role is and how they became an apostle. You see, the Bible clears all this stuff up, but church, boy, they love to confuse it, man. 1 Peter chapter 2, continuing with who the rock is. He says in verse 8, and this is going to, I'm going to show you the problem. See, verse 7, we are talking about how the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. So many men throw away Jesus Christ, put him to the side, disregard him. And see, that's what they've done. That's what churches are doing today. That's what Christianity in America is doing. You know, they'll pray, but they don't want to pray offensively, so they won't pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They won't give God the glory through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't glorify God through Jesus Christ, you don't glorify God at all. God's given Him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, you don't glorify God without Jesus Christ. You can't. It's not possible. You gotta have Jesus Christ to bring glory to God. A sinful man in his sinful state, no matter how good his quote-unquote good works are, cannot glorify God. You've got to have Jesus Christ to glorify God. He is the stone, but the builders disallow him. Verse 8, 1 Peter 2. "And a stone of stumbling," oh boy, "and a rock of offense." Now there it is. "Well, that's offensive to me." "Well, you just offended me." You ever stop to consider why in the world people are so offended at Jesus Christ? So offended at such a wonderful message, the gospel. That means good news. People are offended at good news. They're offended at, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why would that offend you? That God loves you enough to come and to save you from your sins? God loves you enough to send His only begotten Son to bleed and to die and to suffer persecution for you on the cross of Calvary, to be buried, to descend first into the lower parts of the earth and put your sin in hell, to rise again the third day, to do the complete work of salvation, the complete work of purging you of your sins and of justifying you and of pleasing the Father. That's offensive. You know what's offensive about it? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's what's offensive about it. They don't want to accept the light, neither come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved, you see. Yeah, see, they don't want to hear, "Thou shalt not." They don't want to hear, "You're wrong." I mean, honestly, who really likes that? I don't like it. I don't like it any more than you do. I'm made of the same stuff you're made of. One preacher said it best. We're all walking, talking, animated dirt balls. We're all made of the dust of the earth. And dust thou art, and the dust thou shalt return. See? So we were made of the same stuff. None of us like it. Our nature goes against it. But the problem is, folks, we can't stumble at it. You can't reject it. See, Jesus Christ has become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It's offensive to say you're a sinner. That's wrong. If you don't repent of your sin, you're going to go to hell. Well, who are you to say I'm going to hell? Well, why are you judging me? I'm not judging you. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn you. I'm simply speaking the truth of the Word of God and what Jesus Christ said. See, He's the one that's going to judge you when He sees you. And He's going to bring up this broadcast. He's going to bring up this confrontation. He's going to remind you of the truth you heard, and He's going to show you your wicked, dark heart that said, "No, I won't confess I'm wrong. I won't say I'm sorry. I won't recognize my state. I won't repent of my sin. I won't receive this beautiful gift and accept this wonderful love. I'll take my chances. I think I'm all right." And you'll split hell wide open without Jesus Christ. You see, it says, it continues in verse number 8, "Even to them that stumble at the word," see? See, that's the problem. They don't want to accept what the Bible says, so they rewrite it. They rechange it. They say, "Well, that's your interpretation, but that's not mine. The Bible says no prophecies of any private interpretation. The Bible's not there for us to interpret. It's there for us to read. And it's not there for us to rewrite. It's there for us to reread. It's there to tell us what the truth is. It's there to tell us of Jesus Christ." It says they stumbled at the word, being disobedient. They refused to obey what the Bible says, whereunto also they were appointed. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Isn't it great to have the light of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful that once you're saved, you're predestined to be conformed into His image as little stones, a stone made like the rock, our Savior? And we are to build upon the foundation of the gospel, the foundation of our salvation, as we learn of it in the Word of God. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in for today's broadcast. Pastor Mike will be back on the air again next week, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 5:15 p.m. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Will you trust in God's righteousness today? Acknowledge that there is nothing that you can do in your own power to go to heaven. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and He will be faithful to save you. If you'd like to hear more teaching and preaching from the Word of God, you can do so at the Bible Believers Church website at bbcosl.com. God bless.